Yeah, only a couple weekends to go before it's back to school. It is definitely probably back to work, I would think, for some teachers next week in early preparations. But summer has just flown by far too quickly for my liking. But football fans have certainly been chewing it up, all this great stuff from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Their record now looking to become 9-1 if they can beat Calgary tomorrow. And it's going to be a challenge. The only clubs to have beaten our green and white. 5 o'clock kickoff, 3 o'clock pregame show here on the Green Zone. Now, the injury report shows Mario Alford, who Britton Gray was telling us throughout the week was back at practice, is not going to be playing. He's going to miss his fifth straight game this weekend. The one issue for the club has been kicking, and Campbell Fair was brought in to challenge Brett Lowther, of course, earlier in the week. And we pushed head coach Corey Mace, I think it was Wednesday, who was kind of cagey when it was telling us who he thought would start this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's the anticipation. So, but you never know how that goes, man. I'd love to say everybody's going to play, but still got a couple days of practice.
The anticipation was Brett Lowther, I think, in that. But then our CJME Rider reporter, Britton Gray, asked yesterday for a little more clarification.
I had a plan. Yeah, we'll get the kicker out there to swing it, man, so we'll see.
He's still not saying. Let's go to the chap, Grey Cup chap, Green Zone analyst Belton Johnson joining me now. What's your take, buddy?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, me personally, I think they're probably going to give Lowther another shot here, right? You know, like you said, they brought somebody in to push him, and we'll kind of have to see, wait and see what happens. You know, Macy's playing close with the cards there, I think.
No kidding. Very tight. I would think they'd give him another week. I heard TSN's Dave Naylor on the Green Zone yesterday and said, generally, if you're going to bring someone in, you give him one more week to go. So I suspect Lowther is going to start. But the only club to beat us this year, what are you looking at for the game tomorrow, Belton?
The thing I'm looking at is, you know, I have to look back at week six when the Stamps, you know, beat the Riders. And the one thing that I had noticed was the trench play where it looked like the Stamps, they were the aggressors and everything. So for this week, I'm looking at the Riders to come out stronger, right? And just, again, it's the battle of the trenches. That's where the game is won and lost, Greg. And, you know, they do have to control Vernon Adams there a bit. And, you know, the Riders, they've been pretty solid here these last few weeks here.
Well, you're a former Grey Cup champ. You've played a lot of football. When you look at this record of 8-1 and you think the Stamps are the only one to have beaten you, that's got to serve as quite a bit of motivation, doesn't it, going into this game?
Oh, absolutely, that's motivation. And, again, you know, when the Stamps beat them, I felt like that was embarrassing for them to come into Mosaic and do what they did. And if you remember that first half of that game back in week six, what I think the Stamps had 367 yards net offense. Riders had, what, 95. The Stamps had 86 rushing yards. The Riders only had 3. So I'm sure they're looking at that game. We could have did this better, done this better. And I know this week in practice, I know they had day one. I think they had a pretty with the pads on. So I think they're going to come out this week. They have to set the tone right off the hop here.
When you use the stats to put it that way, you're right. There's a lot of motivation there for sure. Belton Johnson's my guest, our Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst. And I don't know if you saw this. As I was driving to work this morning, you talk about embarrassing. I think the Bombers are trying to embarrass us a little here. I saw near the casino on my drive into work here this morning, one of those moving billboards, the video boards. It said, "Friends don't let friends wear green." And a big Blue Bombers logo. They're taunting us already. That game isn't even until next weekend. As you drive around and see those, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can't wait for the game for next week either. I like, you know, banter and things like that, right? I think it just, you know, builds up for the upcoming week again. Here.
It does. It sure does. Hey, let me get your score for the game tomorrow night before I say goodbye.
Well, I do have the Riders going in to Calgary. They're winning, and I have the score of 29-22 Riders there.
29-22 from Belton Johnson. We'll hear you on the post game and the pregame show, of course, tomorrow. All right. Thanks, Belton.
Have a good one.
Lots of great family activities on this weekend. I Love Regina Day tomorrow in Victoria Park. And if you're in Moose Jaw, big Shriners Parade down Main Street. You'll learn more about that after the 8 o'clock news, as there's a ginormous shrine convention. They've come from all over North America. And I'll reveal all the details coming up after the 8 o'clock news with the organizers from that parade. Eric Menendez denied parole during his first ever parole hearing. 36 years and a day after he and his brother had killed their parents. He's been in prison since 1996 for the 1989 brutal murder of their wealthy parents. Eric Menendez denied his attempt for parole for what seemed to take at least 10 hours yesterday before the decision was officially made. But ABC's Matt Gutman explains how they came to the decision. Despite the fact that Eric had an almost unblemished record in prison over the last 20 years, he was denied.
They talked about his pre-murder burglaries back in the late 80s, before the 1989 murders. He did it twice. They also talked about his multiple cell phone violation infractions, that Eric had smuggled, or had cell phones smuggled into the prison. He paid $1,000 for one. He apparently took another from a prison guard, or bought one from a prison guard. And that, according to the parole board, showed a certain level of criminality. And finally, it was the shotgunning of Kitty Menendez, Eric and Lyle's mother. That is something that the parole board simply could not get beyond. They basically said she didn't have to die, and asked Eric point blank, why did you shoot her? Eric said, I thought that she was complicit. She had betrayed us, and I wish to this day that I hadn't done it.
So a pretty crushing defeat for the Menendez brothers after they felt they had come so close after being resentenced just a couple of months ago, with having first been sentenced life without the possibility of parole, and then they changed it to 50 years to life. That opened up this possibility, which for Eric is just not going to happen for now. Anyhow, he does have a few options still left. California Governor Gavin Newsom could actually decide at any point, at his discretion, clemency, if he believes that the Menendez brothers have paid their dues in prison, and he could release them. But that's pretty unlikely now after hearing what happened at this parole board meeting. It took over 10 hours, so they took their time and tried to understand if this is the right thing to do. The Netflix movie put the spotlight on these two after it came out last year on a series that almost everyone seemed to be watching at the time, and a bunch of newbies to the case kind of believe that these guys should be released because they were abused. And there is evidence that there was abuse by their parents, too. But in the end, a lawyer and television analyst who many of you are familiar with actually was on the case back in 1989 every day, was Geraldo Rivera. Last night, he was asked for his comments.
I have absolutely no sympathy, I have to say. Maybe it's because I have covered it from the very beginning. These are two thugs who savagely murdered their parents. Close range shotgun blasts. Jose Menendez could not even be recognized. His mother's limbs were shot to hell. And then they lied about it, spent all the money. I remember the darlings of Beverly Hills for a time. Now they are again with Kim Kardashian and the Netflix documentary. Netflix could make Charlie Manson look good if they wanted to. I think that they are exactly where they should be. I think you're looking at people who will be in for the rest of their life.
All right. Well, it looks as if it's Lyle's turn today. And how long it'll take, I have no idea. But I don't know. A lot of people don't believe that Lyle will have much of a chance now either.
No matter what the man said, love is fine for all we know our love will grow. That's what the man said. Don't you listen to what the man said. He said.
Well, here in Regina, we've got the men's baseball championships. A lot of people in town for that, with their families, friends, and grandparents watching the games. 10 teams from across Canada and jamming up our restaurants and filling up hotel rooms. We welcome you. And in Moose Jaw, a little shy on hotels as well because of the Shriners convention that's on right now in Moose Jaw. From all over North America, they've arrived. Garth Hordenchuk is with the Moose Jaw Shrine Club, joins me now with all the details. Glad you could join me, Garth.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I have no idea how many are in Moose Jaw this weekend, but what do you put it at?
if we haven't hit 600, we're approaching 600, and the people have come from, the Shriners and their ladies have come from, and their families have come from Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, Northern Ontario, Manitoba, and of course, Saskatchewan.
Wow. It's a huge, major convention. It's a good economic driver in the city, I bet, this weekend.
Oh, it really is. Is the community fired up for this?
Who are and what are Shriners? How do you explain what the organization is?
We're a philanthropy, and what we do is we've got 13 Shriners hospitals across North America. There's one in Canada, there's one in Mexico, and there's 11 across the United States. In Montreal, our hospital, proudly, has not a cure, but has found a treatment for brittle bone disease. So we have a big travel fund here in Saskatchewan where we send people, we pay for all their expenses, and one of the parents gets to travel with the kids and stays with them. Yeah, so you could go to Portland or St. Louis or Montreal, or depending on what your medical condition is.
So supporting families and their kids in medical needs.
Yeah, what the Kinsmen and the Lions and those guys do is fantastic and all over the place, right? With us at the Children's Hospital and the Travel Fund.
You've got so many Shriners from around the world visiting Moose Jaw this weekend. How big is the Moose Jaw contingent of Shriners?
We're about 40. We're down in numbers over the last few years. Tough to recruit new these days.
Well, the Wawa Shrine Circus was a part of my childhood. Let me go there, right? Because when I was a little kid going to the Shrine Circus in Regina, yep, they used to sell these kid-size Shriners hat and fez, and they would add your name in glitter. And I would dream of then getting that on my head, walking outside into one of those miniature cars or those little round UFO-like vehicles they had in the parade all the time. Do you still have such things?
Oh, we do. The Motor Patrol is big. So, for example, we have three-wheel trikes. Regina has the Thunderbird. Saskatoon has F1 mini race cars. That's a big part of it because we do so much parading. That's how we promote ourselves, is parading. And in the States, not so much in Canada. In Saskatoon, they have a clown patrol, it's called. But in the States, the clowns are a huge part of it, and they parade.
That's why you had the clown convention yesterday. Some of them from the U.S. are here. You're having a parade tomorrow, so will all of this be in the parade?
All of it. All the little cars, the horses, the clowns, bands. There's about 400 people, Shriners, are going to be in the parade. We start at the Town and Country Mall, and we end at the bottom of Main Street. Be there at 10:30. 11 o'clock is kind of the official start, I think. Yeah, bring your lawn chairs. Just hang out.
Garth Hordenchuk is president of the Moose Jaw Shrine Club. I must ask, Garth, if I were to become a Shriner, is there an initiation of sorts like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble went through when they tried to become members of the Royal Order of the Water Buffalo?
To become a Shriner, first of all, you have to go through the Masonic Lodge. If you're familiar with Masonry, every Shriner is a Mason. So once you go through the Masonic Lodge, you can decide to become a Shriner or not. And when you do, we have kind of a pomp and ceremonial to get you into becoming a Shriner, and that's once a year. But yeah, you got to go to three meetings, three events, and once you're through the Masonic Lodge, you can choose to become a Shriner.
Do I walk out of that with the hat, the fez?
Once you become the Shriner, you leave with a fez. Yes, you do.
It's all I want in life. That's the last thing in life I need. I need to get a Shriner's hat. Because when I was a kid, I pretended I was one all the time. Well, this parade sounds like it's going to be pretty colorful and lots of fun for the family. Weather seems to be on your side. I wish you well with the parade. And thanks for enlightening me about what it takes to become a Shriner.
And thanks for having us. This is a really big deal. Our club has really come together to make this event happen. Our whole province has, really. We only get it once every 16 years in Saskatchewan. So this is a big deal. Just so appreciate that you are promoting this for us. And hopefully we get a good turnout for the parade tomorrow.
Sure hope so, too. Garth, my pleasure. You have a great weekend.
Okay, you as well. Thanks a lot.
There they are, Trooper, part of Shake the Lake this weekend. You have School of Rock opening up later this afternoon, followed by Helix, Finger 11 and Default, Tomorrow Men Without Shame, great local act opening up, and then the Kings, Stampeders, Trooper, the Headstones. Tickets are still available directly through the Kinexus Arts Center. Neil Donnelly is Shake the Lake organizer. He went with an all-Canadian lineup this year, largely because this year it's been a little more difficult securing talent from the U.S. because, number one, he mentioned a lot of these artists are getting up there in age, not touring as much. and the timing, of course, of who's coming through. He'd love to have artists like Rex Springfield, even Pat Benatar visit in the future, but it just wasn't meant to be this year.
Well, there's a variety of reasons. I mean, both those acts are on our list, and I think at some point in time they'll both play here. Or Joan Jett or some of the others that we've been going after for a number of years. This year was really a different year as far as the rider schedule came out a little bit later. We always wait till the rider schedule's out before, so we're not competing with a home game with them. And there's just been a lot of other festivals like this that have popped up. So we're competing against that. And then all these artists are getting older, and so they're actually not playing as much as they used to. And so there's lots of factors up against us. But, I think we'll continue to do it. And I think we're going to continue to draw great talent like we've done in the past. And this year's no exception with our all-Canadian lineup.
So happy Shake the Lake weekend. And if there is ever another tradition this time of the year, it's construction, and it's not quite complete yet. In fact, most projects are about 40% complete right now. Yesterday, Mayor Chad Bushinsky was on our show, and I was asking him for an update a bit about what's going on from his perspective. Here's what he said about the Dewdney revitalization project and what you may now notice downtown. On 11th.
We're seeing, a lot of the surface work being done now. So a lot of paving, a lot of curbs being done. Big chunks of 11th Avenue are now open again. So you're able to get through north, south, and east and west. So we're very much in the wheelhouse of being on track.
Did you find that you ran into some really aging infrastructure? Did SAS Power have problems? Is that why it seems like to some that it took so long?
Not so much problems. This was a massive, 11th Avenue, for example, was a four-year project. It was planned to be a very large undertaking. For us at the city, we had pipes underground from the 1900s, 1913. I think we uncovered some railway ties from when the rail line was out there. So there's challenges that you face along the way. But overall, it was a huge undertaking, a lot of disruption, and I understand the frustration, but we are starting to see things open up and starting to see the results of all that work.
Mayor Chad Bushinsky, I was showing some of the results of all the work on duty on my CJMA Morning Show Facebook page. Closer to Broad, that section there is starting to really come together. Wider sidewalks, narrower streets, some new lighting and trees towards Albert Street. It looks like we got a lot of work to do. Is this project on time?
Yeah, it's going well. If anything, there would be some of the landscaping that we might, if we weren't going to finish up, it would be something to that effect. But the core paving and the sidewalks and that, we're still targeting to complete this year.
So October, November, December?
Let's go in the middle. I'll say November for now, and then I'll ask Curtis Doney to correct me later.
He is promising that multiple crews are working and operating at the same time on some of these projects, and when they can, they're working later into the evening and scheduling weekend work too. Almost back to normal over at the Regina Airport. CEO James Bogus telling us Air Canada has restored most of the flights since that strike ended.
In terms of local operations here, this means we have all our Toronto service back to normal and, of course, the full-blown service to Vancouver. So we're very happy to see this.
Something like 129,000 people flying in and out of the Queen City over the next 24 hours. Air Canada now telling us that they will reimburse people for hotels and food bills. But they say it could take 4 to 6 weeks to pay you.